Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to call the November 20th, 2012 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. And since we haven't moved yet to the old courthouse, which has a lot more space for the public, I'm going to ask a couple things happen. If the folks who are here for the home health care proclamation could come in and file in if you need to along the sides of the room here. We're going to do that. And then
very well. Your application isn't good.
What?
Your application isn't good.
Okay. Is this better?
A little.
All right. We're going to do the home health care proclamation first. So if those folks will come in, then we'll do the Distinguished Youth Award. And after that, we'll do public privilege, public comment. So everybody will have a chance, but I think people who are here for the proclamation, that will happen first. Distinguished Youth Award second, and then we'll go to public privilege. Okay. So, but first we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Burbank?
Good evening. I'm here.
Ms. Chalk will be arriving later this evening, as will Mr. Dennis. Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Poto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
There are 12 members present.
You didn't call me. You didn't ask for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Robertson.
I'm here.
12 members present.
Thank you. Which I need to say that my left-hand person is not, the usual left-hand person is not here tonight. Kathy Covert had a medical emergency where she will be fine. She'll be out for at least a week. I think she has never missed a legislature meeting before.
Not many.
She doesn't like to miss them at all. So she would be here if she could. And she wants to know if anybody wants to help cook Thanksgiving on Thursday at her house. She'll be home by then, but probably not able to cook. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desk.
Thank you. And I have a proclamation today that involves a lot of folks in the audience here for home care in Tompkins County. So if there's anybody else out in the hall who's here for that proclamation, let them know we're doing that now. And if you could come up, I understand that people are here from possibly Lifelong, Tompkins County Office for the Aging, Ithaca College Gerontology Institute, Longview, Visiting Nurse Service, Hospicare, Tompkins County Health Department, Finger Lakes Independent Center, Francisca Racker Center, Department of Social Services, Caregivers, Comfort Keepers, Class and Home Health Associates, Staff Kings, Red Moon, Brookdale Senior Living, and the Family and Children's Respite Program. So some of you are from these agencies, and I thank you very much for coming tonight. Whereas home care services provide high-quality and compassionate health care services to those in need, especially at times of community and personal health care crisis, and where home care is the most preferred method of health care delivery among disabled, elderly, and chronically ill individuals eager to live independently in their own homes as long as they possibly can, and whereas home care services allow families to stay together and provide for greater health, dignity, and comfort in our communities, and whereas home care in the United States is a growing alternative to hospitalization or other institution-based forms of health care for acute and chronic illnesses, providing care to millions of Americans each year, and whereas thousands of everyday heroes, such as home care nurses, therapists, and aides, work tirelessly to provide professional health and palliative care and support to millions of Americans in need of quality health services, and whereas these dedicated home care professionals and volunteers form a support network that continues to play a vital role in healthcare delivery for our nation's disabled, infirm, and aging population. And whereas those entities in Tompkins County providing these vital services are lifelong Tompkins County Office for the Aging, Ithaca College Gerontology Institute, Longview Visiting Nurse Service, Hospice Care, Tompkins County Health Department, Finger Lakes Independent Center, Francisca Racker Center, Tompkins County Department of Social Services, Caregivers, Comfort Keepers, Class and Home Health Associates, Staff Kings, Red Moon, Brookdale Senior Living, and Family and Children's Respite Program. And whereas the National Association for Home Care and Hospice and thousands of home care agencies across the United States have declared the month of November 2012 as National Home Care Month and are calling on all Americans to observe these occasions with appropriate ceremonies and activities, now therefore I, Martha O. Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim November 2012 as Home Care Month in Tompkins County and encourage the support and participation of all citizens in learning more about the home care and hospice concepts of care for the elderly, disabled, and infirm. So, Lisa, if you want to come on up and say some things just for everybody.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the legislature for recognizing this very important and valuable work. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the director of the Tompkins County Office for the Aging, and I have the privilege to work with my colleagues here. And those who couldn't be here, it's a fantastic network of support that's available for older adults and persons with disabilities in Tompkins County. And it's great to be in a community that recognizes and values the work that these individuals provide on a day-to-day basis, the frontline workers, the aides, the physical therapists, respiratory therapists. They provide a network and a continuum of care that is very necessary for providing support and services to individuals who need them, need this support. And being at home in the comfort of one's home is where people want to be, if possible, and it is a quality of life issue, and it's also a bottom line cost issue. These services do save the taxpayers and our community a good number of dollars every day. So I want to thank you again for recognizing the hard work that goes into providing these services. And on behalf of all my colleagues here, thank you very much.
Thank you. And the other agencies will get certificates mailed.
Okay.
Okay, just hand them out, and thank you all very much. The other folks will get their copies in the mail. All right, thank you so much. And I just want to say for Carol Chalk, who wish she could be here now because she's been benefiting greatly by the services of home health care since she's had her accident. And now I'd like to ask Frank Proder to come up for the Distinguished Youth Award.
Thanks, Martha. Well, everybody who's here right now has to stay for the whole meeting. And tonight is the budget vote, so we'll be out of here by 11 o'clock. So some time ago, I read in the Ithaca Journal a headline that said, Tompkins kids take state fair titles. And the lead was the 4-H junior tail waggers of Tompkins County came away with 6 championships at the New York State Fair's Youth Dog Show. So I called Megan, and then I called Brenda. I see Brenda hiding out in the back. And I thought it might be appropriate to recognize the young folks who did our county very proud by going to the state fair with their dogs and winning all these awards. So I'm going to call you up. If you folks would come up, is Cindy Wagner here? Cindy, would you come up first, please? Cindy is the club leader, and you're going to have to help me in case I This is, I was told once that this is the first time you'll hear your name pronounced correctly. So, okay. Abigail and Lindsay Kasky. If they're here, please come up. Monica Conrad. Alyssa Godoy. Bailey Lyons. Aaron and Clara Seeley. Ian Chan. Brandon and Lizzie Drake. Brian Lampman. Jacob Ragusa. Excuse me. Claire Conklin. Oh, and Emily Conklin. Caleb George Hinnett. Melissa Lapinto. And Hannah Ritter. Okay, now I'm going to embarrass you a little bit more. I want to read you the letter that we received at the legislature from Brenda Carpenter. And I hope you'll be as impressed as we were. Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award, the Junior Tail Waggers Club 4-H. It is with great pleasure I nominate the members of the Tompkins County Junior Tail Waggers 4-H Drill Team for the Distinguished Youth Award. This 16-member team captured reserve champion honors in the drill team category at the New York State Fair in August. Their nomination for this award is not based on their success in the show ring, excuse me, but their success right here in Tompkins County. The Junior Tail Waggers is one of our longest-standing clubs and has helped thousands of youngsters train their best friend. Under the leadership of the current organizational leader, Cindy Wagner, the Junior Tail Waggers have become an important part of numerous community events and has become a valuable community resource. Please take pictures. Reaching beyond their club, members of the Junior Tail Waggers are eager to share their passion of pooches with the community, demonstrate what youth can accomplish with their dogs, and help the public learn more about their favorite canine. The club's participation in community service events include the following traditional outings: the Ithaca Festival Parade, the SPCA March for the Animals, the Dryden Dairy Day Parade, the Brooktondale Apple Festival, Cornell Cooperative Extension Fall Harvest Festival, Pet Expo at the Shops at Ithaca Mall, both fall and spring events, Ag Stravaganza, did I say that right,
yep.
Brenda? At the Shops at Ithaca Mall, the Easter Bunny arrival at the Shops at Ithaca Mall, and Santa's arrival at the Shops at Ithaca Mall. Busy. Whether people are attracted simply by the dog's cuteness or surprised to see dogs doing agility in the middle of the mall, they are drawn in and readily engage with the 4-H'ers. The 4-H members practice their public speaking skills as they share stories about their dog and their experiences in 4-H. The management of the Shops at Ithaca Mall have been so impressed with the level of responsibility and participation from the Junior Tail Wagger members, they have extended their invitation well beyond the animal-focused events of Pet Expo and Ag Extravaganza to their other holiday activities. The most active and committed members of the club participate in the drill team. Youth plan the routine, select and organize the music, develop the costume ideas, and facilitate the practice sessions. Since the 16-member team must perform choreographed moves, it takes patience, diligence, and practice. Members meet each week, all summer long, and then polish their dog's skills at home between practice sessions. The youth are generally at all different obedience levels with their dogs. Members quickly learn that for the benefit of the team, it's important to encourage each other and cheer each other on. Cindy has a natural way of making every team member understand that their contribution is critical to the success of the team and provides a safe place for them to make mistakes. In every facet of this club, from the simplest newbie question to the planning for the annual drill competition, Cindy is not the leader but the responsible adult. The members of the leaders and Cindy nurtures an environment where the 4-H's are successful and safe in accepting leadership responsibilities. Everyone is welcome and included and encouraged to grow as a leader at their own pace and comfort level. Earning ribbons and top placings at the fair and graduating to new and higher levels of training are part of the goals of the club, but not the focus. The members work hard for themselves and their dog, not for anyone else. This fundamental attitude carries over to what the community sees when members are participating in events. This also contributes to the sense of respect for each other within the club. This becomes especially obvious at the state fair when members switch easily between going wild, when someone else does really well in the class, but none of you do that, right? to providing comfort and encouraging words when someone else doesn't place well. Cindy understands the importance of helping members experience generosity and that youth need opportunities to feel their lives have meaning and purpose. By participating in 4-H community service and citizenship activities, youth connect to their community and learn to give back to others. It's clear that these experiences provide the foundation that helps them understand the big picture of life and find purpose and meaning. Not only is she developing responsible dog owners, helping to cultivate an attitude of responsibility and respect for all living things, but she's also making sure members are connected to their community and contribute in positive ways. The members of the Junior Tail Waggers 4-H Drill Team deserve the Distinguished Youth Award recognition, and it's my honor to provide this nomination. Sincerely, Brenda Carpenter, Extension Community Educator.
I'm a very emotional leader.
Try to tell the folks which part of the county these kids are from.
We're actually from all parts of the county. We meet here in Ithaca, but I think we have Dryden, we're in Groton, we're in what other places? Lansing, Ithaca, Brooktondale. We're just all over the county. We actually even have one person didn't have a club in his county, so he came to Tompkins County, and he's been a big asset to us. We're not going to let him go back if they get a club in their county. And they're the leaders. I'm just the adult that has to be there because that's the rules. They run the club. They do everything. They inform me of what my job is. And I tell them they can fire me, but they won't. We have a good time together, but at the same time, we're learning a lot about how to deal with people that are different than we are, people that are the same as we are. Monica is at Cornell for her second year. She's now learning how to teach beginner obedience, and that's really something that she's not used to. She hasn't done beginner in a long time, doesn't remember what she was like when she first came, so she's getting wonderful experience there. Jenna, who's in the back, she's been with me for 10 years. She started when I started. She went to college and came back, and I wouldn't let her leave me. So that's the type of club we have. They might graduate, but they don't leave. I don't let them if I can help it. So, and I'm really glad we have three, four colleges in the area because hopefully they'll go to a college here so I don't lose them. But thank you all very much. It's a big honor. Thank you.
I'm going to present this plaque, Cindy. I'm going to present it to you, and you can have them each take it for a month or whatever. This says Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Tompkins County Junior Tail Waggers 4-H Drill Team in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, November 2012. It's sponsored by Bangs Ambulance, the Tompkins County Legislature, Cougar Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&B Awards and Engraving.
Thank you very, very much.
There's also some gift certificates from Purity Ice Cream and a Bangs Ambulance emergency kit. The T-shirts we messed up on. So we'll have T-shirts, but they're not, I apologize, they're just not, well, you know.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Next time, bring the dogs back, okay?
All right.
We wanted to bring the dogs, but they said there wasn't enough room here, so because they love coming to things like this.
But and there are parents here and grandparents and sisters and brothers and whatnot as well.
Yeah, couldn't do it without them either. Right.
If you want to, well, if you want to go that way, it'd probably be easier.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you all very much, and thank you, Frank.
Oh, wait, they're not staying for the budget?
I just hope they take their coats from the back chairs then. All right, it's time for public privilege of the floor. I have a few people signed up. Is Faye here? I don't see Faye. Is she she's the first one? All right, well, wait a second. So how many people need to have their dog trained? Yeah, having failed at training two dogs, I admire these kids.
I do.
My dog failed.
All right. So for citizen privilege, public privilege of the floor, I'll call you and please. We have 3-minute time limits, and Michelle will help you keep track of the time. Please just tell us your name and where you live. Is Faye still here? Faye was the first one.
Martha.
Yeah.
It may be because
still can't hear,
people, but it's hard to hear you, Faye.
Okay. Why don't you close the door? That's okay. All right. The first speaker is Faye Gougakis, and then Pete Myers. So Michelle will hold up the 1 minute, and then time's up.
Good evening, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'm going to say that first because I know I'll run out of time again. I handed you a copy of an article that is from Monday, November 19th. It's from the Cornell Daily Sun, who does a real good job with journalism. I would like you to read that and to think about it, because it's something I've been talking about for a very long time. I've been asking the city, I've been asking the county to do something about this. We have so many more cars coming in to the area, well, all over, but let's just stick with our place, with tinted windows. Tinted windows that law enforcement cannot do their job. When I ride my bike, and so much for sustainability, because I'm on my bike while other people who talk sustainability are in their cars, and I dread for my life because I can't see the driver. That communication is very important. It's important for anybody. So I'm really angry because I don't see a discussion about this. In today's Ithaca Journal, there was an article, or was it yesterday, saying how Cuomo is asking, the police everywhere to enforce the texting. Okay, but how are you going to enforce texting when you can't see the behavior? Okay, now this article is extremely important because this person got hit. Not only did they get hit, the people came out of the car and hit that person. Okay, that has actually happened to me a long time ago when somebody backed up because I yelled at them for what they were doing to me. And this is going back 20 years without texting, without cell phones. But this behavior is very dangerous. The cell phone use, the texting. Now, I know when I spoke about this before, somebody on the county board said, well, what are we supposed to do about it? Well, we're dealing with hydrofracking. We're dealing with so many other issues. We can't deal with safety? We can't write a resolution and send it to Cuomo and say the tinted windows are unacceptable, that the manufacturer should not be manufacturing this because it is a hazard to our people? That is unacceptable. That the county, that the city has done zero, has done nothing. And I'm angry because quality of life in Ithaca and Tompkins County is going down. Now, Peter Stein gave me the crime report, okay? That crime report was also given to me by John Barber, turns out, okay? That report goes to 2011. Meantime, I gave you a report, statistics, that are for this year, not all the way to the end. I got that, and I gave it to you. Okay, that shows an increase, yet nobody's talking about an increase of anything. And so I wanted to just end with one thing, positive thing. Well, maybe not. In the Ithaca Times, there's a wonderful article on Native Americans. And I want you to think about this. When I went to the mall yesterday, somebody there are absolutely exhausted. They got to go there 1 a.m. in the morning so people could shop. Okay, 1 a.m. That means they don't have time for Thanksgiving. Let's think about what Thanksgiving means these days. It means corporate America and buying and shopping. There's no talk of Native Americans anymore. There's no talk of the sacredness of Thanksgiving. And I'd like all of us to think about that. Meantime, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you, Faye. I've got Pete Myers and then Stanley McPherson.
Good evening. My name is Pete Myers. I'm the director of the Tompkins County Worker Center, formerly the Tompkins County Living Wage Coalition, and I'm here to reopen the conversation around living wages. Most of you know that a living wage is what a single person in our society needs to survive. Most of us know the commitment also as well that the Tompkins County Legislature has historically shown towards living wages, having become one of our first living wage employers about 8 years ago. It's our largest living wage employer in the county with, I think it's close to 750 employees. So we're very happy about that. Several months ago, several workers visited the Worker Center, referred by one of our leaders, our community union leaders, thinking that we could help. And these workers were Stanley McPherson and Milton Webb. They came to the Worker Center feeling that they weren't making enough money to survive in their barely minimum wage jobs. And they work presently at the solid waste facility. They were initially employed by Kelly Temporary Services, that was basically Casella Waste Management runs the solid waste facility as contracted by the county, and then Casella contracts with Kelly Temporary Services. So I'm simply here tonight to really raise this conversation around wages and economic justice to a higher level, to a larger level, about what we can do about low-wage workers. And I encourage us to think about what we need to do differently to support those amongst us who are making the least amount of money. It just seems in a society such as ours that people should not be living in poverty in a society such as ours, and I have great hopes that Tompkins County will figure out a way to change that.
Thank you, Pete. Stanley McPherson, then Milton Webb.
Hi, my name is Stanley McPherson. I work at Reed Community, and I am one of the young men that is making low wages. The company is making millions. We're making the millions. We see it daily. The county is making sure that their workers are making a living wage. But the county is not making sure that the outside contractors that come in here in the county and get contracts for millions of dollars, 10 and 8, 8 to 10 years of contracts, but their workers are making below living wage. And the same token that they're not enforcing nothing. It's like, it's all right, you know, but the county is making sure that, hey, my worker is getting living wage, but you're not. And so something should be done about that. Because really, an outside contractor coming in, making millions, taking the money out, the county really is not making nothing, but they are supporting that, and that shouldn't be so. And so I'm here to say that it should be some rules about this, and that the county should say, well, listen, you an outside contractor. We give you 10 years. Guess what? You have to give your worker, because it's in the county, a living wage. Why? Because our workers have a living wage. And this is what we're here today to bring forth. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Milton Webb is next. And then if anybody else would like to speak, you can step to the mic after Mr. Webb.
Hello, my name is Milton Webb. And as my friend Stanley said, we don't make a living wage, and we are in poverty, and that's not right. So we are here to strike up about the living wage. There's not a lot of people in this town that are making living wages. And a lot of these places like McDonald's, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, places like that, everybody needs to make money to live. And if we can't make money to live, then what are we supposed to do? You think about that, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the legislature? All right. Thank you all for coming. Please stay. There's a lot to talk about today. So, I don't see any municipal officials in the room. Legislative privilege of the floor. Anyone? Mike and then Frank.
First, I'd like to say thanks to Frank for bringing a terrific group of young people tonight to have the Distinguished Youth Award given to them. Frank, you're the one that initiated this years ago, and you've once again shown how important that effort is. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Secondly, tonight I heard, or on the radio today, I heard something, and that was once again Tompkins County is the lowest unemployment statistics county in New York State. All of us continue to have trouble with that statistic because we know it's really not an example of what is happening here, because so many people are underemployed or have part-time jobs which really don't make it into the statistics the same way. I talked today with a business representative for one of the local trade unions, and he told me that among his membership, there is a 20% unemployment rate. And so when we hear these figures, when we're denied grants and other fundings because we're doing so well, they are not exactly what's happening out there. So we want to keep that in mind and keep stressing when we go to NYSAC or wherever that those figures don't tell the true story. And I guess my last comment I'll leave for my committee report. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Frank, and then Jim.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I just wanted to comment quickly on an event that some of us around the room here participated in on Sunday. We were invited to share some past experiences with Congressman Maurice Hinchey, and some of us had an opportunity to speak. I know Martha did and I did. Pam did on behalf of TCAT, and it was really, you hate to say it was a wonderful event. It was a wonderful event because of the recognition and all the things that he did. The saddest part of it, if you can put it that way, is that he won't be there, because he was a strong voice for this community. But I was a little disappointed, and I have to be candid with you, that there wasn't 300 or 400 people there, because he really did help a lot of organizations in this community. It was an opportunity to say thanks. I don't know how many people were there, but there were over 100. But from where I was standing, I wish that the room had been full. He was truly moved, and he gave us some very, very, I think, from the heart remarks at the end. And he said he would still be around. He wasn't going to duck out of town, so to speak. And it was nice to hear Jean McFeeters did such a good job of emceeing, as she usually does, that I think the folks that were there really showed Maurice that he was well thought of and well appreciated, certainly by Tompkins County. And I would suspect that Pam and Martha probably have something to add to that. But I just want to say thanks, having been invited. The Ithaca Journal did not miss the opportunity to identify what they thought was the only Republican in the room, so which was kind of cute. But anyway, it was a nice event.
Thank you, Frank, and I was glad that you were there. I appreciate that. Yeah. Jim?
Regardless of what you said, Frank, I think you were the only Republican in the room, but that was neither here nor there. A brown bear, a moon, and a caterpillar. Sounds like romance to me, but it's at December 2nd, the Eric Carle Show at the State Theater, sponsored by the Family Reading Partnership. And, I'm going to be there, and I hope some other people are there, many of the children in Tompkins County. It's a really special event. And if you miss the caterpillar, go to Wegmans, look up. It's in the balcony.
Thank you, Jim. Will.
Thank you, Martha. And thanks also to Frank for that wonderful presentation and bringing to my attention a group that I was previously unaware of, even though I'm on the Corporate Extension Board. They do lots of really good things, but this is just a delight. And I'm sorry that I was not able to come up to the event for Mary Cinchy. Something came up very much at the last moment, but I was very sorry not to be there. I wanted to thank the folks that spoke to us about the need for a living wage for an operation for which we do under contract. And as we all know, government employees are the beneficiaries of not only living wage, but I think decent benefits. I wish that was true of everybody, but unfortunately that's not. But I do hope that we will try to keep this in mind as we are writing contracts for the agencies that serve us. It's always tempting to think about the fact that services can be done sometimes at less cost if they're done by private entities. But I think in a bigger picture, we really need to keep that in mind. And finally, I wanted to let you know one of my great guilty pleasures is listening to radio. I love listening to radio. I listen to NPR and the local Cougar radio stations. But lately, I've been stumbling on something that I was aware on my dial was there, but I really hadn't paid it a whole lot of attention, and that's Ithaca Community Radio. It's at 88.1 on your FM dial, and they are doing some very, very innovative local programs with interviews. And today I heard a wonderful interview about Ithaca Local and the attempts to encourage us to buy locally and think about the impacts when we spend our dollars locally. And they also had on air one of our newly arrived merchants in downtown, from Life's So Sweet Chocolates, and they were describing what they're eating on the air, and it was absolutely amazing. So I found it inspiring on many levels, and I will be visiting that shop real soon. But do tune in to Ithaca Community Radio 88.1. It's definitely a good addition. And they're trying to get more and more local program, and they're looking for people to produce local programs, and they enjoy support. It's community-supported radio. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else? Pam.
Yes, I would like to thank Stanley and Milton for coming down here and talking to us. It's important that we hear about these things. The living wage is not some pie in the sky thing. It's real, and people who are not making a living wage live with that every day. So I hope that there's something that we can do about this. And I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to come and let us know your concerns and what you're coping with. I also would like to speak to Maurice's event on Sunday.
As I said in my remarks, that I actually saw Maurice. I first heard Maurice when he was an assemblyman from Ulster County, and was thinking how lucky they are to have such a representative. Not that we didn't have good representatives, but that this man was a remarkable person. And lo and behold, when we had this our gyrations of gerrymandering that we have in redoing our districts, lo and behold, Maurice became eligible to vote in Tompkins County, I mean to run in Tompkins County for Congress. And so I was just delighted when he came here and have been a big supporter of his from that day. And the thing that is so unique about Maurice that I was sort of sad that there weren't more people there, because it's such an unusual attribute that he has, is that this is a man who doesn't equivocate. He will speak his mind. He will explain why he believes what he does, and he'll live with that. It's really a very unusual characteristic for a politician. But he has done remarkable things in his career, and I don't know if people are aware of the fact that he was instrumental in getting the whole Love Canal pollution to be dealt with. The pollution by General Electric in the Hudson River, he was key in, and he also was brought forward in his committee in the Assembly the mafia control of the garbage industry in New York City, and actually had his life threatened because of the work that he did. I just can't speak highly enough of him, because I think he's a very unusual and a unique person and political leader, and I'm very sad to see him go.
Thank you, Pam. Leslie.
Thanks, Martha, Frank, Pam, Wohl, everyone, especially for speaking about Maurice. Frank, I too was very disappointed to see the turnout to celebrate someone who has done such marvelous work for and on behalf of our community. I especially expected to see many more people there who represented our human services community, because that has been an area he's been very passionate about. I too want to express my thanks to Maurice as an immigrant and as, working with lots of people who are immigrants in trying to make sure their status is secure and so many things. Maurice's office has been very, very, very helpful, and Maurice himself. I remember when he came to the State Theater and spoke, when many of us were very nervous when the Patriot Act was passed. And I remember when he came and said, no, I did not support that. How just overwhelmed and touched I was that my representative somehow knew what mattered to me and to people around me. And that will forever be with me as the sort of representation that we should expect from anyone who dares to sit in that seat and say they represent the citizens of Tompkins County. You know who your constituents are, and one should always feel like, wow, they're looking in my window, or they actually know me personally, they know that this matters. So thank you, Maurice, and we will miss your service, although I know that he'll be around for us to call on. He certainly is not going anywhere anytime soon. So thank you. I also want to say to the gentleman, I've been engaged in this conversation about living wage with Stanley and with others, and Pete knows that me and many others around this table, this initiative is we're very passionate about. And making sure that the people who represent this county as workers feel like they can live on what they make. That's very important. We have been having some of this conversation at Workforce Diversity and Inclusion around living wage, around our contracts, I heard you say that, around just issues of inclusion. And paying people a wage they can live on is certainly an issue of inclusion. So we'll continue to have this conversation and then just fall on deaf ears. This is a body of people who take this very seriously. Like Pete said, we were one of the first certified living wage employers in the county because we're very serious about this. We'll continue dialogue. Certainly, we have legislation. We encourage people with whom we do business to pay a living wage. We may not always. Okay, I have to pause on that note. Carol.
Thank you, everybody. And this is Lindsay, who is, I know you honored earlier tonight, but I am going to honor her again because I do not know what I would have done all these weeks without the home health aides. I literally started out not being able to turn myself over in bed, get myself a glass of water, and I had to go out on a limb and fund it, not knowing if the insurance was going to pay for it or not. They are so far, thank God. But I really, I'm here tonight to propose that we reinstate our CHA. So I, if you'll entertain that motion.
I'll second Sorry. It. Second.
Third and fourth and fifth.
So, sorry to interrupt whatever was going on.
That's all right, Carol. We're happy to see you.
Thank you.
And, I mean, it's just perfect timing because this is the kind of dedication that this body have. We see Carol coming in here to the issues that matter to us. So thank you, Carol, for being here. I was just talking about the living wage and how dedicated we are and passionate we are as a body about talking about it. We all may not necessarily agree, but we do engage in dialogue and we do put our best foot forward trying to make sure that the people who, again, represent us as workers can see that they can live on what they make. So thank you all for coming and talking to us. It is not an issue that falls on deaf ears over here. It's a very robust body when it comes to that issue. And we'll continue to dialogue and talk and engage positive dialogue helps move things forward with a body like this. So thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. And welcome, Carol. And thank you, Dave, for switching seats. And you can fit in the desk there, that's all right?
Sort of.
Sort of, okay.
Get my chair later. Can I?
Okay. Yes, sure.
Can I have another minute?
Yes.
Okay. I really want to thank everybody out in the community and especially my colleagues here for all of your well wishes, especially to all the chefs. I would point out in particular Brian. Next time we have an event that we need to buy food for, I think we should put in money in the kitty and send Brian out for ingredients for his everything soup because it was delicious, as was the food from everybody else. I want to give my apologies for letting you all down without the excuse that I was running for higher office. I just to show that I was listening to every single meeting, I want to make clear, Frank, that you did not have my proxy for the sales tax vote. And the rest I've really said already. It's this community is incredible, both the community of people related to the legislature, staff have gotten in touch with me, friends, and then when everybody else ran out of steam, the Temple Bethel Caring Committee showed up. They are still showing up at my house every other day with food, the most incredible food. And it just is, they call it a mitzvah to visit the sick. And it is really true. Even when I wasn't up to necessarily getting your visits, just the fact that you called made a very big difference. And I also want to send special thanks to both Claussen's home health aides who really have taken care of me the whole time, and to Frank for getting me into the visiting nurse service when I was having trouble there. And what else? I'm sure there are other people out there to thank. My husband, first of all, for putting up with me through this. So I'm very glad to be back. I don't know if I'm going to make it all night, but I will be here for as much as I can. And thank you for your forbearance while I wasn't here. I should be back really to committee meetings in December.
Carol, it's great to see you sitting up. So, welcome. Any other legislative privilege? All right. You know what? I think, let me do Mara. Let's do some brief reports, and then, well, Carol, you really came for the budget discussion and vote, but we'll do the consent agenda and go to the budget, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Briefly, I have an appointment to the Workforce Investment Board, Melanie Solomon, to be the business representative. A couple of things actually related to fracking. I think most of you know that I was in Albany last week, last Tuesday, with that's why I missed the budget hearing, with elected officials to protect New York, which is 545 local elected officials from every county, at least one from every county in New York State, and I signed on to the letter to Governor Cuomo asking for three studies to be done, at least three studies comprehensively to be done, health impact study, cumulative environmental impact study, and a socioeconomic study on the consequences of fracking that looks at the cost, not just the benefits, to communities. So we had, I think, a well-attended press conference. If people go to nyelectedofficials.org, you can see the letter to Governor Cuomo. You can see the 545 signatures. Actually, I think one is not up there yet, so it says 544. You can see all the signatures. You can see under in the news, you can see all the press that's there. We met with Commissioner Joe Martens, as well as Deputy Commissioner Jean Leff at the DEC. And since then, there's been more news with the naming of the three people who are doing the health impact study. It's still very unclear what health impact study means, what their task is, what their deadline is. In fact, I talked to Kevin McCabe this morning, that's the governor's representative and regional representative out of Binghamton, and he was asking me what I thought it meant. I said, well, here are the scraps of information that we got, Kevin, but why don't you ask them? And when you find out, will you call me? So there's that. In addition, I brought along the press packet that we can put together for press and for the meetings that we had, and there were other meetings as well. I'll put that on a copy of that on the table, and if anybody wants the copies, I can send PDFs. And I was asked a couple months ago to write an article on fracking for the Environmental Forum. It's it's the Policy Journal of the Environmental Law Institute at the University of Virginia. There are 10 pieces on, I think 6 pieces on fracking from different points of view. Mine and also Dominic Frangillo was asked to write, so I'll put that on the counter as well. One other thing about fracking is that the newspaper, and it's been repeated in a number of places, there was an article that the title was Southern Tier Elections, the Winner was Fracking. Well, if you go into that, and by the way, it looks like a press release from the Joint Landowners Coalition. It actually says there's no byline. It says staff reports, which is a real clue. And it cites that all these people were elected and the opponents of fracking all lost. Well, every single one of the people that they cited who won was an incumbent. Real coincidence there. They conveniently left out the incumbent who won, who was actually challenged by the vice president of the Joint Landowners Coalition, Donna Lopardo, for running for assembly in Broome County. Now, the clear explanation is that incumbents won. Incumbents and people with three times as much money as their challengers won. So I have seen that repeated a number of times. I actually was talking to somebody from Albany today who knows much more about the state Senate races than I've been able to follow. And he said that the Democrats who in the state Senate, who surprised many people, Cecilia Kacik, Gibson, O'Brien, most really ran on a strong anti-fracking campaign. Joe Addabbo ran on strong anti-fracking platforms. So that was actually a theme in the state Senate races and perhaps contributed to the surprising, I think, to most people, results in the Democratic in the state Senate. So I'm not making these comments as a partisan thing, but just to say that the story told about election results does matter about what lessons people take away from what they think the people want. And I think it's a much more nuanced than that article expressed. I guess related to the election, I still have not heard back from Congressman Reed's office about a meeting. I did put in another call yesterday and reiterate our interest in having a meeting. And they said they'd get back to us. But we do have a meeting next Thursday, the 29th,
yes,
with State Senator Tom O'Mara. That's at, help me the time.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Thanks, Joe. Everybody here is invited, and we have put out in calls for Barbara Lifton, Mike Nozzolio, and Jim Seward as well. Those haven't been set up yet. So that is my report, except for one question. I wonder, Peter, if we might, could we get a resolution on tinted windows? That sounds like not a bad idea. On tinted windows. I don't know if there's something that New York State can do about that. So.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Thanks very much. Carol?
Is there somewhere we can look at a copy of that magazine that your article is in?
Yeah, I'll put these over there, and I, when I get a chance, I can find the links, too.
Okay, can I just make a little announcement about the national aspect?
Mm-hmm.
So just people might be interested to know that the work that was started here in Tompkins County about the conflict between gas leases and the mortgage market is going national. There's an appointment set up. I'm going to have to participate by conference call. But in Washington, D.C., on December 12th, the chief counsel of FHFA, FHFA is the organization, the agency that was set up to oversee Fannie Mae and the other mortgage agencies after the crisis in the mortgage market. So their chief counsel is going to be meeting with a group of us, some in person who are in the D.C. area and some by phone, to hear more about this issue and to talk about some possible remedies.
Thanks
very much.
We're
very excited about that.
Thank you very much, Carol. Frank?
Martha, would you let me add something to what you said? On the earlier, I guess it was late October, there was an announcement made that anyone that had a gas lease with Anschutz or Ansboro, same company, different name, and it was up for renewal, the company had opted not to pick up the renewal of the leases. I went downstairs to the county clerk's office and checked. There are 9 pages of leases with the property citations that now do not have a lien on their property. The leases have been, because the option was up and the company opted not to enact the option, and they had to file paperwork that said that. There's a series, 9 pages of properties that, with this one company, that no longer have a gas lease or the threat of one on their property, and they've been released, if you will. The second item is, I don't know if you alluded to this already, Martha, but there was a decision, I believe, by a federal court that the force majeure clause was not able to be used in the hydrofracking piece. The Chesapeake was the key company, and what I had been reading indicated that Chesapeake could not say that because they were not permitted to hydrofrack that they could use force majeure to extend the leases. They threw that out. And, of course, Chesapeake is unhappy about that, but that was a court case that I was reading, and I don't know if Jonathan, he's more up on that stuff than I am, but I thought it might be of particular interest with regard to the Anschutz leases, because a lot of those leases were the Dryden folks.
Well, and Anschutz took itself out of the Dryden case, and Norse Energy took over.
Took over. Wow.
And the force majeure issue, is that, do you know, was that because the companies would still be allowed to do vertical drilling, so it wasn't that the use was entirely taken away?
That's what I understood, that they were not permitted, the impression that they were not permitted to exercise drilling rights was incorrect. It was that they were not permitted to exercise a particular type of drilling, and that was hydrofracking. But that's what I understood as to why it was thrown out.
Okay. Thanks very much. Anything to add, Jonathan? You don't have to.
Other than the whole, a force majeure is like, it's a Latin term that's in contracts, and it just basically means unanticipated consequences, and it typically refers to like a flood or a hurricane or things like that. And the whole force majeure argument was completely ridiculous in the first place, and they were bound to lose on that. Or, you know, that's something which isn't going to survive. That was one of the more bogus things that those companies have done.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Will.
Martha, I too heard that those reports framing the results of the election in a very particular way, and I was particularly distressed to hear that on WSKG, a very similar storyline. I, however, was encouraged to hear the news that the University at Buffalo has closed its shale research institute, basically because they discovered that there have been industry ties that had been previously undisclosed that was distinctly influencing the research. I think it was a very good decision on their part to just shut it down.
Agreed. Absolutely. So a lot's happening on this issue. County Administrator Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Martha. A very short report tonight. But I do want to ask in advance at the end of the budget, assuming it's before midnight, just to have an opportunity to say a couple of words as we close out that process. I guess the only thing that I can add tonight is the task force has been pulled together to look at the TCAD funding situation, has now met twice. It's clearly a very good group that's going to be very helpful, I think, in giving us advice on how to address that gap in the budget. It's been mostly background information at this point, kind of learning about a number of things, including the room tax, county finances, TCAD's structure and the way they approach the job of economic development. After the next meeting, they'll begin to move more into the review of alternatives that may be available. So that process is coming right along. I guess the only other thing I'd add, if you remember the last time you met, I told you that I was going to be reading at the Family Reading Partnership event. Based on my audience's reaction to my presentation, if any of you have children or grandchildren who have difficulty sleeping or are somewhat hypersensitive, I'm hiring out to read to them.
So where do we sign up?
Let me know.
Well, Joe, is that indicative of you reading them the budget?
Well, I think almost anything would have had the same effect. I think it's the tone or something in my voice.
That's very desirable, Joe. Don't put yourself down. I think that's great.
It's highly marketable skill.
Would you talk, Joe, for a second about the straw vote that was told, you know, at the beginning of the second meeting? I think that's an important point.
I can. If you recall or if you read the briefing memo that I prepared for PDAC, I tried to lay out the full range of options that may be available in terms of revenue and approaches to dealing with a $200,000 structural deficit in TCAD's budget. It included broaching the use of room tax money for that purpose to support economic development. And within the range of room tax items, we kind of ran the full gamut of possibilities there that included the possibility of the county just bringing all the room tax money into its budget and then as a part of the budget process every year, allocating that money however it chose, which means it could go to the health department or it could go to tourism or it could go to TCAD, it could go anywhere. And in kind of discussing that option, having it in the packet, a great deal of anxiety was created within the community of organizations that receive room tax money. And it had taken on kind of a life of its own that threatened to really overshadow the other work, more incremental type approach of the task force. So in seeing what was happening within that group, the chair of the task force, Art Pierce, who's doing a great job as chair, put it to the task force during the last meeting, should we consider that among the range of reasonable options, feasible options of the county, bringing all that money into its budget and then deciding basically in a zero-based approach how to spend it, and ask for a straw poll to see if we could put kind of community's mind at ease. The response back was very strong and almost unanimous that that's not an option that the task force wanted to consider. It doesn't mean that the task force won't be looking at room tax as a possible means of support, but it does mean that notion of us taking in all the money into our budget and then parceling it out. The task force came back and said, we don't think that should be among the options that we consider. So with that, I hope that the word has kind of gotten out to the organizations who were anxious about that possibility, that that is not among the options currently that would currently being considered by the task force, that would be considered by the task force.
Thank you, Joe. I think it is important to note that it is, but in your role as the administrator bringing us the full range of policy options, it was important that you included that in your list. There are more than 10, I think 10 or 12 counties do use the room tax that way in the state. So it's obviously something that needed to be on the list. So that's from the task force, and obviously they'll make their recommendations, and then we'll, as the legislature, have the choices to make too.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Joe? Carol?
Yeah, thank you for that report. Currently, is it still true that the room tax program pays a 10% overhead to the county?
That's correct, it
at
does.
This point, plus do they pay separately for the planner, the tourism planner?
They do.
Okay,
right.
So is one option on the table to look at that 10%, which we used to spend, you know, more of on helping with the program?
There's still
a piece of it which we still use, David Squire's time and Jonathan Wood's time.
Right. Nothing is off the table, although I will say that money that comes into our budget is really there to pay for things in the budget, a piece of me, a piece of Jonathan, and what isn't spent directly for those things really falls to the general fund and helps pay for other things. To the extent that money is taken away and dedicated for a different purpose, mm-hmm. we would have to backfill that void either with spending cuts or with property tax increases.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I just was asking if that could be one, at least looking at using a piece of that. In particular, the piece that we now are also funding by funding the tourism planner position through the room tax, whether that piece could be on the table as one of the options that you present.
Again, it could be within the range of options, but I will say, just so that everybody is on the same page, when that new position and that new responsibility the county assumed last year, or 2 years ago now, was brought into our budget, and that $100,000, which is salary fringe and related costs, was then taken from the room tax and brought into the county. That was really with the explicit understanding and approval of the STPB, and that was in addition to that 10% that we took.
Right.
But, Carol, your basic point is, are options like that on the table for discussion? I'm certain they will be.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Thank you, Joe. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I do not have a report.
Okay. David Squires, Finance Director.
Just briefly, I was going to be putting in your boxes tonight a positive sales tax report for the month of October. Just briefly, sales tax was up about 4% in October. Year to date, it's up 2.6%. The only caution I have is the state has gone to a new vendor reporting system effective the fourth quarter, and the impact of that could be very dramatic or have no impact at all, but it does affect who's going to be paying when, and so it may show up in the last 2 months of the year in terms for comparison. It's supposed to be an improvement. of their system, which you can't really understand to begin with. So,
David, when you say, are you saying that is it above what we budgeted?
Yes, we're 2.6% above, over last year. And last year we ended up with about what we budgeted for this year. So it's a little about, I'd say it's, we're right near about 2.4%
above budget. And what did we budget this year?
Budgeted this year, total county sales tax of $31,430,000, and right now we're a little $26 million.
And what percentage increase is that from last year?
It's 2.6.
Oh, okay. I didn't quite understand what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Joe?
If David doesn't mind, just a cautionary point. The first part of the year, we are comparing ourselves to a relatively anemic 2011. Sales tax really began to pick up in the last quarter of last year. So as we enter the last 3 months of the year and start looking at sales tax, it's, I don't know that we should expect to see the same rate of growth over the same period from the year before that we have in the early part of the year when collections were fairly anemic. So we've got really strong months that we compare ourselves to from last year. So it may, the growth, the overall rate of growth for the year may shrink.
Yeah, one of the most unknown facts is that the impact of Sandy is likely to have an impact downstate, a dramatic impact downstate. Will that spill over to upstate is what we have to see, and it will be showing up in the fourth quarter. There was New York City, for example, retail activity came to a grinding halt for a week.
Right.
And that just ripples throughout. And you won't see the impact of all the people, the purchasing, you know, for people have to replace things they lost. That there's a delay in that. So, and you have, without the electricity on for 10 days, that's going to have a significant impact. People not being able to get gasoline for their car.
How does that impact Tompkins County?
Well, we don't know. But when 9/11 happened.
Give me an example.
When 9/11 happened, sales tax throughout New York State dropped. And 9/11 didn't happen in Tompkins County.
They stopped buying yogurt.
It occurs to me that of the 20,000 or so students who live here and spend their money, how many of them, their families are in downstate or in New Jersey, and, you know, who knows if there's an effect there. It's not impossible.
It's a consequence that you have to be prepared for.
Okay. Don't count our chickens, that's what you're saying, right? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, David. Are there any resolutions to be added to or subtracted from the agenda? All right, I'll go through the consent agenda. Please let me know if there's anything you would like to have pulled. Resolution A, ID 3772, designation of tourism promotion agency for the state. Revised Resolution B, it's in your packet, off. Resolution C, ID 3788, acceptance of state grant funds for update of Tompkins County Agricultural and Farmland Protection Plan. Resolution D, ID 3785, budget adjustment, CSE increase, Office for the Aging. Resolution E, 3789, budget adjustment, HEAP, early outreach, Office for the Aging. Resolution F, 3790, budget adjustment, ISEP increase, Office for the Aging. Resolution G, ID 3751, authorizing acceptance of a New York State grant for various projects, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Project number, don't need the numbers. Resolution H, ID 3761, budget adjustment, unanticipated sale of scrap and insurance recovery revenues, Highway Division. Resolution I, ID 3767, authorization to execute design services, supplemental agreement, Fisher Associates, County Road 110, Ellis Heller Road Phase 2 Reconstruction, Town of Dryden. Revised Resolution J, ID 3654, approving revisions of the Tompkins County Government Administrative Policy Manual Policy 0406, compensation plans and employee salaries. Is there a motion? That last one off?
Okay, is there a motion on the consent agenda? Leslin moves, Brian seconds. All in favor, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. So, let's see. Let me just see. Barbara, are you waiting just for Resolution L, or are you going to hang around for the whole budget thing? Okay, then I think we're going to do that. I'm going to also ask about Ed. Oh, those are going to take longer, so I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait, Ed. Okay. So can I ask Carol, would you like to handle Resolution L?
If that's okay with Dooley.
For Dooley, Vice Chair of Facilities.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you to the committee for having handled the business while I was gone. I would like to move Resolution L, establishing a unit charge for the 2013 solid waste annual fee that is DOC ID 3758. I so move.
Seconded by Dooley.
And Carol? I would just like to point out the operative piece of this, which is that solid waste annual fee will be held at the same level as last year,
which is
$56 per billing unit.
Mike?
I'm the one that normally moves to amend to reduce the solid waste fee by a dollar or two. I've done that for many years when we've had good experience with the sales of our recycled products. I did that last year, and I think we should have done it last year, which would have been the year to do it. I'm not going to do that this year because I think with the current fluctuation in the commodity markets, we should hold steady.
Okay. Anybody else? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution L, please raise your hand. That's no opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. Thank you, Carol. All right. And Pat, if we can jump over the Broadband Committee and go to Jim Dennis, Budget Committee Chair.
We are here?
Yes, okay. We're right there.
Let me make a couple of requests, Martha. At the end of it all, the county administrator is asked to say a few words. I would like to say a few words if the vote on the budget is approval, then I clearly would have some things to say. And if it isn't, I would also have some things to say. But at this point, what I want to do is just move adoption of the 2013 Tompkins County budget and the 2013 through 2017 Tompkins County capital program.
That's Resolution K, seconded by Mike. Jim.
This is not the part that I just asked for. I recognize that there were several amendments that have been put together by individual legislators, including myself. And as I was looking through those, I frankly did not see any new ground being broken. Some of these things were things that we had voted on in voting meetings during the process, and I can understand why they're back again, I guess, and to be voted on. So I would hope that we can do that rather quickly with, I think we know where everyone is, or we did, maybe some minds have been changed, but that would be my suggestion so it doesn't kind of bog down here.
All right. I suppose, yes, Jim?
Go ahead.
I suppose everybody should have the table of amendments on the desk. Jim?
That's right. Are we going to do that right now?
I guess I would suggest perhaps if we consider going through them in order.
I would suggest that this is the time to do that.
So are you raising your hand again?
I am.
Okay, go.
Since I'm here, what I would like to move that the sustainability planner for 25567 be moved back to the general fund.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion. Carol.
Yeah, that's money that's already in the budget for sustainability. The original plan for that money was for the county to have half a sustainability planner position and the city to have half. I understand and I sympathize with the city that they just didn't feel that, they had the budget to do, to follow through on that. I think that the city is really in the kind of straits that we were several years ago and have really had to, rein in. But because the city is not able to follow through, is no reason for Tompkins County to not continue along the aims of the sustainability plan. I've talked to Ed Marks, and I would like to amend Jim's resolution there to read that we would not take the money out of the budget, not move it around, keep it with the planning department. That would not be adding anything back to the budget. But Ed has pledged that what he would do with that money would be to not hire a new person with its contingent fringe benefits, but would be able to restore the hours, at least some of the hours, that had to be cut for the planning staff a number of years ago when we were in the dire straits that we were in, and they would be able to work on sustainability issues. So we would have more hours than we would have had under the current budget going towards sustainability. Ed, is that correct? So I would like to, amend Jim's resolution to, say that the money would stay in the planning department and it would be used to restore the hours of the staff, starting not in March when the that new position would have started, but he would be able to start that right in January. We have staff whose hours were cut who are really hurting because of that, who have asked to have their some of their hours restored, and I think before we go hiring new people that it is a good idea to help give our staff back some of their more complete hours. It would take $40,000 to fully restore the planning department's hours, but at least for the 25 that we have in here, $25,567, we could do that. So I'd like to move that.
Okay, so we have Jim's got a motion to amend the budget. You've got an amendment to the amendment. Seconded by Dooley. Brian?
Yeah, it's more of a procedural thing. Are we mishmashing things together in one, or are we going down the line? Because if we're going to do that, then I do have something. But if not, I'll kind of
Well, I
my
think
turn.
We should deal with this issue, and if you look at your page, this Jim's is the fourth proposal. So Dooley, yours is essentially the same as Carol's. So then I see up here that this line that says Chalk and Kiefer, that's essentially the same one. Okay.
Okay. But do you see what I mean? If we can kind of take care of one at a time, it might make a difference on how we proceed.
Well, yes, and that's what we're doing. And Peter,
I want to make a point of order. I think that Carol's motion is out of order. It's really not an appropriate substitute motion. It's an independent motion. I'm making a motion to the chair that we can essentially do what Brian is asking for, consider them serially and decide whether we want. The other way, it becomes too complicated. You don't quite know which way to vote on substituting, depending on what you want to do with the final motion.
Okay. The order in which these are listed was only the order in which Kevin received them. As far as, which we take in order, I mean, Jim had the floor as chair of the committee, he took the initiative to make his first motion. I think Carol's and Dooley's is, I would say, Peter, completely appropriate. It's the same chunk of money. So there's a decision of how to dispose of this chunk of money. So it seems to me an appropriate amendment to his amendment. If people want to do what Jim says, they vote against Carol's amendment, and then Jim's will be in front of us. I hope that's clear. Carol, Brian, Frank.
The reason I brought it up in this order, in general, I would agree with that we should take them down the line. But if we pass Jim's first, then the money has been taken out of the planning department. It's psychologically different to then put it back in. And so the approach I'm suggesting taking for that same amount of money is to just allow the planning department to adjust the purpose of, actually not even the purpose, because it all goes for sustainability. It's just who will be paid the amount of money. So that's why I thought it was appropriate and just psychologically better to take ours first. So I'd be happy to take them in order if Jim would like to yield and let us take ours first, and then we can take his.
No, yours is, no, his is first.
Okay.
His is on top, his above yours. Brian?
Well, it sounds like that's the way we're going to go. So first off, let me just recognize the what looked to be a concerted effort between Amy and Frank to get all the 4-H kids in here. We happen to be dealing with, you know, never mind. Yeah, really.
And from all over the county, even Groton.
That's right. I noticed that. I noticed that. I guess the only way I can do it is to offer an amendment further by taking the amount that Jim, in his resolution, removing the sustainability planner for 25,567, taking that money, in which case you're right, it's not new money, applying that towards youth services, that amount. Not the 39, but certainly not the 9,700 that was mentioned before. That would not do anything to target that I can see. It would add that back in, but it wouldn't go all the way to the $40,000.
All right. Now, we can't have an amendment to an amendment to an amendment. Okay. Jim's motion is an amendment to the original motion, which is the motion to accept the budget, and Carol's is an amendment to the amendment. So that's as many as we can do. Trust me, I couldn't remember anymore if Robert's rules said we could. So
we're not allowed to amend the amendment. Is that what you're saying?
We're already talking about amending the amendment. We can't amend the amendment to the amendment to the amendment. But what you can do, John, Brian, and what I think you've just done is to signal that you would like to. You'll probably vote against Carol's amendment, and your intention is that you'd like to leave the money in the budget, but repurpose it. So you would vote against Jim's, but the purpose would be to put it towards youth services. That's kind of, so you can.
I'd actually vote for Jim's, but use that same money.
Okay. Right.
A new amendment with that dollar.
I think everybody gets the idea.
Okay. I don't.
You will, because this is going to go on for another hour.
Okay. I think Frank was next. And then my
point of order.
Okay,
thank you, Madam Chair.
Hold on, Frank. We have point of order.
I just want to make sure that we can still add other amendments here that
yes.
other than this list.
Right.
Yes.
So I just wanted everyone to understand that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Correct.
Okay, Frank, you were up next.
Carol, I want to ask you for clarification. Jim's motion is to remove, his amendment is to remove the sustainability planner. The one that you may next propose after, depending on whether your amendment survives or not, your wording was to use sustainability planner money for increased staff hours for sustainability work. Dooley's is use sustainability planner money for increased staff hours in planning department. Hers is a little more general than what I think yours is. Can you clarify what your amendment to Jim's motion is?
How about we gonna go to Dooley?
No. Dooley, did we agree that we were on the same page, or do you see it?
The way it got worded.
Dooley, use your mic.
The way it got worded by my name was Kevin's doing. I think what I emailed to Kevin was to indicate that I wanted to use it for sustainability. So it would have read exactly the same as Carol's.
Okay.
It just didn't come out that way.
But is your proposed amendment to Jim's motion, does it go to sustainability work or generally into the planning department?
Would it make any difference to your vote if I left it more general as to the discretion of the planning director?
Probably not. But I think from a clarification standpoint, it would be good to know.
I would prefer to have it go towards sustainability work at the discretion of the planning director, but my biggest interest is in seeing some of those planning staff hours renewed. I think that our planning department does enough sustainability.
Carol, you can't argue both sides of the case. Either.
Why don't we let Ed talk about this? Okay, Ed, if you would describe, what would it mean for your staff to take on more hours for sustainability work?
Again, the focus of this concept was the sustainability of the county government operations as the primary focus. So the types of things that we would envision someone doing in this time, whether it had been with the city or in this way, doesn't really matter from the county's perspective. There's a number of things we haven't been able to do or do adequately, and those were the things I would think we would focus on first. One is to monitor and assist all the departments in the county with implementation of the Green Fleet policy. We continuously get questions about what are we supposed to do with that, how do we do it, what makes sense, what makes economic sense. It's hard for the departments to deal with that. Our sustainability team has been trying to get together a program to engage all county employees in the sustainability efforts within county government. And we just haven't had the ability of the members of that team to have the time to put to organizing that. And that would be one thing we would do. And one of the main things is it's important to get all employees on board in terms of energy-saving behaviors in the way buildings operate, in the way they work in the buildings. One of the ideas of the sustainability team was to develop building-by-building data on energy, on compliance with waste, how much waste reduction we are having, other sustainable practices, so that employees would get a sense of pride in their building that they work in and understand the progress that they're actually making over time by the behaviors and the changes that they're making and that we're making together. Look at other opportunities to implement sustainability best practices in county government operations. There's a lot of information out there about how we operate our highway operations, all sorts of other things. Again, the staff in these divisions don't have the time to pursue all these things. This person would help run down the most promising ones and work with staff and departments to help them implement them. Just monitoring the results of other green policies that we've adopted, like waste reduction, workplace flexibility, efforts on paperless office, actually being able to quantify the savings in dollars and in energy that we've realized, which is something that's not being done that much right now. And just looking at advantage of other grants and incentives that are out there, again, we just don't have the hours to track down everything that we might be eligible to do or take advantage of right now. So that would be another thing a person would do. That gives you an idea. Of course, that's going to evolve over time, but those are the things we'd focus on in the near term.
And that will be spread a couple people.
We would adjust the workload within the office to make sure this number of hours is funded for this would be dedicated to those purposes, whether it's between two staff or one, depends on whatever responsibilities people have in a given year.
Because a couple of years ago, you took a cut from 40 down to what's your actual?
Well, it's averaging 37.5. Some people are 35, some are 37.5. We're down a full position from where we were two and a half years ago right now.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ed. Anyone else? Pat.
I just want to reference the discussion that we had when the proposed budget was presented to us by Joe, and this funding was put in for our half of a sustainability planner with the hope that the city would be putting in the other half of the money for that. And let me say that I supported that if it could be funded half by the city and half by the county. However, there were at least a couple of us, I remember, who did ask the question, and I think we ask it more than once, is it very clear that if the city does not fund the sustainability planner, that then what will happen? And the answer at that time was, well, we just won't do this. Now, I don't think that we ever specifically said, in so many words, does that mean that the money will go back into the general fund and can be used to reduce the tax levy? But it felt like that was the implication of what that discussion was. And I also would reference the comment that Carol made, and I think very rightly so, a few minutes ago, when she said there's a psychological impact. If we take this money out of the budget, and then Brian or someone tries to introduce a resolution to take an equivalent amount and apply it to something else, that has a different psychological impact than if you take money that's already there and just shift it to something else. So I feel like this move to take this money and repurpose it now, even if it is for something to do with sustainability, is not in keeping with the discussion that we had when this was originally explained to us when the budget was presented. And I would support, if I have a chance to vote on it, Jim's original motion to put this back in the general fund. I'm not saying that I wouldn't support some of these other efforts, but I think that they should be presented to us on their own merits, not because we happen to have some money sitting there that we could use for it. And I think that this is not the process we should be using. If we want to try to restore hours to the planning department, then somebody should make a motion that we restore hours to the planning department. We shouldn't be sitting here, I don't think, and saying, oh, look, we've got this money now, let's add some hours to the planning department. We have some people who have made a very strong presentation to us about other needs for money, too. And we don't happen to have any other sum of money that we might commit to that. So this isn't so much about whether I support or whether I don't support a particular program or not, but it does have to do with process. And I just would ask you to think about the difference in the way we think about this and how much easier it will be to just say, okay, let's go ahead and give it to the planning department and let them use it for sustainability versus, is this the same discussion we would be having if this was presented, if that motion were presented to us totally separately from this money that happens to be available?
Okay. Got Leslin, Jim, Leslin, Dooley, Jim, and then I'd like to make some remarks.
I'm not going to be very long. I just want to ditto what Pat said. I actually opened my budget book because I'd written notes when we were having the conversation. I'd introduced a motion to zero out that over-target line, and we tabled that pending what will happen to the city. My understanding is if this is not, the funding doesn't come to the city, we will not be doing this. So, you know, I just wanted to ditto what you said, Pat, and thank you for raising it.
Dooley?
Well, at the time that the motion was tabled, you did not get to hear the arguments in favor of keeping the money in for us to do the work that's needed, even if the city failed, because it was tabled and that took precedence. That's why you didn't hear what I would be saying, what I'm saying now, which is that climate change is real. Climate adaptation is absolutely necessary. And the fact that the city can't see its way at the moment to funding this position doesn't mean that we don't need it anyway. And to have our county planning staff have a few hours to devote to sustainability issues, which to me includes climate adaptation also, is terribly important. And it stands on its own merits. It has really, it shouldn't follow the city's lead in this regard. That's all.
Jim.
And I'm pretty much following what Leslin says. I remembered fairly clearly that we had tabled it. It in no way reflects on the amount of work the planning department does. I realize that we're in the sustainability business, And we have made other commitments to that also. Basically, my concern was, as one of the Budget Committee members, that when I looked at Kevin's sheet, if everything fell into place and all the votes were positive on one and mine was negative, we were going to go 4.07.
Right.
Last year's levy was 3.99. I rest my case.
All right. Michael, you'll follow me. Let me first ask, the 377 up there, Kevin, that represents what?
Your amended motion, right now. The amendment to the amendment.
If the money...
It changes nothing.
It changes nothing. It stays the same. It just means that you're using that $25,000 in planning for not another person, but to increase hours.
Okay. We walked in tonight. We were at 377.
We walked in tonight at 377. If when Jim made the amendment, the first amendment, it dropped down to 371, which is right there, 371 at the top.
Right.
But
okay.
Then now there's an amendment to that amendment, which is Carol's amendment, and it's adding $25,000 back in, but in a for essentially a little bit of a different purpose. And so we're back at 377.
All right. My comments are that, I don't think, Jim, that we're going to do everything on this list, and I hope we don't. I think some important things happened since the last time we met, or since the last time the Budget Committee met. Even the governor, even the mayor of the city of New York, people are starting to out loud say, oh my God, this is real. This is, climate change is here. I don't think there's anything more important, honestly, as a public policy. I think we have to do whatever we can in this area. And, I think there's a lot, we've done a lot as a county, but I think there's still a lot that we can do to reduce our carbon footprint. And, it's the way it happened to break out. Joe was, we were approached with the city's idea. That's how it got in here in the first place. That doesn't mean that we have to walk away from this this spending for sustainability just because the city didn't agree. They have all sorts of other, whatever their priorities are, I can't judge those. But I feel this is something that's critical for Tompkins County to do. I think this is not a large amount of money. The staff has been cut back, where other departments have actually had their hours replaced, restored, and planning hasn't. And I think this is a very tremendously worthwhile thing for us to be doing. So I have Mike and then Peter and
I'd
then
like to
Pam.
Call a question on the amendment to the amendment.
Okay, it's been called and seconded. I will say Peter and Pam had their hands up. All right, all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Five. Opposed? Five to eight, is that right?
It's 13.
That's wrong. Please raise your hands again. In favor of calling the questions, raise your hands high. One, two, three, four, five. Opposed. Peter, I can never see your hand, Peter.
Sorry.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay, that fails 5-9. Thank you. All right, then I had Peter and Pam and Will and Pat.
Oh, boy. I just wanted to just take a second to respond to what you say, Martha. I'm a person who believes that climate change is probably the most important issue that faces us. On the other hand, I realize that argument, while I believe that sort of turns into any time someone suggests putting more money for climate change, I have to vote for it if I believe it's important, if I believe it's very important. But in this particular, but that's not true. We all know that's not true. If I wanted to add $500,000 for climate change, it wouldn't pass over here.
So you really have to look at each one on its merits and decide what you think is going to happen with this additional $25,000. Do you think that that's worth $25,000 working on the biggest problem that exists, knowing well that it's not going to solve that problem? And my own assessment on it is that I won't vote for spending that $25,000, despite the fact that I believe, I agree with you, that it's the major problem facing us.
Pam.
Well, when we talked about this at our last budget meeting, I spoke and said that if the city did not come up with their half, that I would not support this. And I've changed my mind. I too have been affected by the disaster of Sandy. And I think I cannot go along with Peter's view that if you can't put enough money into it, then you don't put any. I think that we have this money that that has been designated for this in our budget already, and that we should continue to use it. And I have absolutely no doubt that the planning department, that is so good at getting things done in really good fashion, will be able to make good use of this money. We have trained professionals there. We aren't going to have to be paying for any more benefit money. Is that right? Actually, I don't know if that's true. We just have got to do this. And I really strongly urge my colleagues to support this very small sum of money.
That right, Ed? There's nobody else would be moved into a different level of benefits, so... In fact, compared to doing it with the city, this gives us more actual staff time by quite a bit. I've got Will and then Pat.
Thank you. I'd like to address the point that Pat raised in terms of the process and sort of the intent. And I think your memory is correct that there was some of the arguments that were made at the time, in part because there was a sense that if we acted precipitously and withdrew that money, we would impact the city's decision negatively. And I think that was the basis of the argument. As Dooley has reminded us, this was tabled, and there was not an opportunity at that point to raise the larger issues, which I think we all should really consider. $25,000 is a small amount of money. The problem is enormous. If anybody happened to catch the Dust Bowl, which is, ran for two nights this week, where, you know, we had one of the major ecological disasters in the world, and it was man-made, and it was done through well-meaning efforts by government that were not thinking in terms of sustainability at that time, and it created a disaster. I know it's a small amount of money. I am fully confident our planning department will be doing pieces of this anyway, but I would really, really hope we could support them by giving this little way, and I will vote for Carol's amendment.
Pat.
I'd just like to say one more time that this, my objection to this is based on process. It has nothing to do with my confidence in the planning department. I share the sentiments that have been made here tonight about the competence and the ability of our planning department to make good use of the money for sustainability. However, I would like to see a proposal to restore funding to the planning department considered totally on its own merits, not because we have this sum of money here. And I feel like we're doing a disservice to other proposals that we may be looking at tonight, because this one, I think, is getting more favorable response because we happen to have this money here in the budget. If that weren't the case, then I think somebody would have come forward and have made this proposal. So I'm talking about a level playing field. That's all I'm talking about.
Carol.
I watched this section of the budget meetings fairly recently in preparation for deciding what to do here. And I know that there was, again, you can't take my word for it. You'd have to go back and watch it yourselves. There was some concern expressed that it should be contingent on what the city would do, but that's not, I don't think that that was the vote of the body. So I don't think that procedurally that we're doing anything that the body, against what the body had done at the time. My main objective here is really to restore the hours of our planning staff, people who have families, people who counted on the jobs that they were given and then had hours cut. We have the opportunity to do that now with money that was in the administrator's budget and for the purposes, the same purposes for which the money was put in the budget. It just seems to me to be the right thing to do. So I would urge you to support it. Thanks.
All right. I have a sense that we're ready to vote. But I don't know if Jim is coming back. Jim, think we're going to vote? Anybody else want to speak? All right. All in favor of the amendment? All in favor of the amendment that... Yes. This, if you vote yes, you will be moving... You will be saying that Carol's motion is the motion we're voting on. It isn't actually... We have to do it twice, but so if you're voting yes, you're in basically in favor of using 25567 for sustainability work within the planning department. All in favor, please. Clear enough?
Yes.
All in favor of making this the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed. That fails 6-8. So, all right, thank you. Then Jim's motion is back on the table. The motion to remove the money altogether. Discussion. Ready to vote? Okay, this would be to remove this money altogether from the budget. If this fails, the money stays in for a sustainability planner.
Right.
Okay. All in favor of Jim's motion, please raise your hand. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That passes 8-6. So that is out of the budget. Let us go to the top of the page. Mike Lane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move an amendment, and this was, I moved it one other time in our expanded budget committee, and that would be to change the funding for the Tompkins County area development, not the amount of $170,000, but the split, that we would make $70,000 of that target increase and keep $100,000 as one time. In the current budget proposal, it is a total of $170,000 for one time. And I want to speak to that, if I may, if I get a second.
If we get a second. Dooley seconds.
All right.
Go ahead, Mike.
What I'm worried about here is a couple of things. One, we have a structural deficit in TCAD. And we need to address that starting this year, not waiting till next year. I realize that we have a committee that's been set up out there to take a look at the room tax with some idea that maybe we can take some of that room tax money and move it over to TCAD. I don't think that's a great idea. The room tax was set up for two reasons, tourism and for the arts, after a lengthy process two times. We got bit last year when we put money into the budget for anticipated revenue, being the mortgage tax, and then it didn't occur. I'd hate to have that happen this time, where we put this in thinking that there's going to be some money coming out of the room tax that can help TCAD, and then have it not happen. And next year, we have to come up with this $170,000 plus whatever extra there would be next year. If we put some tax money into it now, and that we should be making this payment, because then we won't have to grab so much next year in order to make, as far as the tax levy is concerned. I think that we made an awful mistake in the past by reducing the amount of county tax dollars that were paid to TCAD from about $80,000 down to about $8,000. While times were good and it could get money from the administration of the various projects it had through the IDA, that money could have been better spent for some actual projects that the IDA could have taken on, and which it didn't, because it was using that money solely for salaries and to run the office there. I don't blame TCAD for that. I blame this legislature for that. So I'm moving this again with that thought. Let's start the process of moving it forward. I was glad to hear that the committee is working on the room tax, and that the idea of the of taking all of the money, room tax money, is off the table. For heaven's sakes, I never even dreamed that that would have been on the table. And I think people would have been screaming really hard if that had happened ever. And that, as you say, does happen in some counties. I think there's a new county, may have been Montgomery, but I'm not sure, just set up a new room tax, and that's the way they're going to run it. It's just simply a way of getting some more money into their budget. But just because we're saying we're not going to cut off your legs and we're only going to take a bite out of your arm doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
All right, Jim, and then Julie.
I voted against this during the budget process when Mike brought it up. I will vote against it again. I believe that in another year, if the TC or if the committee that has been put together doesn't bear any fruit, then we'll all have an opportunity to vote target money to TCAD. And, you know, I for one am willing to wait till the results of the committee before I would commit to doing that. But I admire Mike for putting it up again, and I will cast my same no vote.
Julie?
Well, it would be nice if the TCAD funding task force report could have been into us in time to affect this budget, but it isn't going to be. I don't think we would be foreclosing their consideration of sources of money by putting $70,000 in as target for TCAD. If it turns out they come up with something which means we don't, as a county, have to put any money in, we could change that next year. But the way I see it, there is a structural deficit. It is, at least in part, our responsibility to fill it, and it's much easier to do it in smaller increments per year, and I wholeheartedly support what Mike is proposing, although my reasoning is slightly different.
All right, anyone else? Carol?
Yeah, I'm really in conflict about this one. I think I'm not going to decide until the actual vote which way I'll vote. I agree with Mike that since this is something we likely will have to do, and because the tourism allotting the tourism money specifically for the kinds of activities we do, I think is one of the things, the very special things about this community that makes us strong, that enhances the quality of life for both residents and visitors alike. And I think that we should really think very carefully before we would even consider disturbing that set aside for the quality of life in this county. So I would like to, if we're going to have to step up, it would be easier to do it in increments. On the other hand, my understanding of the charge to the committee is not only to figure out where the money should come from and make a recommendation to us about where the money should come from, but that if we're going to enter into a relationship with TCAD in which we support TCAD, there needs to be an awful lot worked out about what that relationship will be, what the nature of it will be, how we will interact as bodies, the process by which we do economic development in concert with each other. And I haven't heard anything about the discussion of the committee yet in that regard. Am I correct, Joe, that that's still part of the charge of the committee?
It is part of the charge. In fact, it was the topic of the second meeting and will be the topic of, I think, the second to the last meeting as well. We'll come back to it.
So I'm looking forward to hearing that discussion, and so the other hand would really like to see the results of that before we agree to just put aside money in the target, which is why I would support it as one-time funding. So I'm not sure. Those things are really conflicting for me.
Leslie?
Carol, you pulled the words out of my mouth. I, too, conflicted about this, but the question I had, Joe, you just answered about the charge of the committee. I just wanted a reminder, and part of the whole funding where it's coming from and the proposal to us around that is part of that will be coming.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I'm Brian.
I'm just curious, Mike, as to the number, the target number of 70. I mean, is that just because it was 170 and you...
I think it was 170, but I picked it because it would get us up to where we, 10 years ago, were funding TCAD. I would support something less than that if people wanted to do that, too. But I do think we ought to make the effort to start this.
Okay. To finish my thought on that, it may very well be that we have to do something like this in the future, starting next year. But... It would almost be to me that we've already picked for them by passing this resolution as it is, or this amendment as it is. You've pretty much given them a starting point for next year by the time that gets going. Or it may even make a difference in the committee's work as far as an assumption of a starting point. That would be the way I would see it. Which to me would be a good argument for leaving it as one time and just leaving everything out and let the committee do their work right from the get-go. I think this sends the wrong message, although it may in the end be the message or something that we have to do. But I wouldn't suggest doing it at this time, and I'll be voting against this.
Leslie and then Frank.
Thank you. Mike, thank you for this. I actually was tempted to do a lower amount that Dooley had suggested. Joe, when are we likely to get a report from the committee?
We're hoping that they'll be done about the end of the year, because if there is any change to room tax, that may require state legislation. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to get it to Albany as soon as we can. So either late this year or very early next year, it'll be done.
All right. Thank you.
Frank, and then I want to weigh in.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mike, thanks for doing this. I would urge your support of the numbers just the way Mike has proposed them, and I'll give you my rationale. I've been on this board for a long enough time to know the ebbs and flows of the funding for TCAD. And sadly, they are being affected by changes in the economy, just like the private side is, changes in the funding mechanism that Cornell was using that helped achieve their cash flow, TCAD's cash flow. And now I'm serving as a member of the task force that Joe put together. I think this would send the right message to the task force, and I'm kind of glad we don't have the recommendation yet, because the meetings that have taken place, there's been a lot of deliberation on how much will be funded, where it will come from. There's been clarification, and Art Pierce is doing a really good job of chairing that group. The fact, if this passes, if Mike's amendment passes, I think it would send a message to the task force that the county is serious about supporting TCAD out of the property tax base. Now, regardless of how else they come up with permanent funding, this is the 170 that Joe proposed to get TCAD through next year. It's not not necessarily the long-term piece that we've been talking about at the task group, but I certainly think that this would send the right message to the task group, and it might help allay some concerns for all of the groups that get the sales tax, I'm sorry, the room tax money. It might help reinforce the fact that we're not looking to raid that fund entirely or in any manner, shape, or form. Maybe that's the wrong phraseology because none of that has, no decision there has been made at all. But I think this might send a correct message, especially now, since tonight is the night we have to vote on our budget, and the next meeting of the task group is not for another week or so. So I would urge your support of Mike's resolution, Mike's amendment.
I'm going to go, and then Will, Jim, and Pat. I think this is the wrong move. I think this sends the wrong message. It says we've already decided or half decided, and I honestly, I think it says to the task force members, why are we meeting? I mean, you're prejudging what we might come up with, and I think, I mean, we're begging Governor Cuomo to take time to get all the information before he decides on fracking. I think this is just a couple months to figure out, to get a complicated set of decisions, you know, really thought through by a diverse, committed group of people who have a lot of interest in the issue and a lot of knowledge about the issue. And I think if we take action like this now, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. The use of one-time money is something that we've done effectively many times, where it's kind of a placeholder. It says, we know there's something here. Sometimes we use it as we're winding down a program or a position. Sometimes we're using it when we don't know enough about the future status of that program or that position. And this is, it's a perfect way to keep this operation going for the year as we sort through this and make sure we make a carefully reasoned decision that weighs all the pros and cons and all the options. So I'll vote against this. Will, Jim, and then Pat.
So Martha, you said much of what I was going to say. I've taken the charge of the task force and my participation very, very seriously to ask, literally, this is the time when we truly examine what we want in terms of economic development and how we can reasonably support it. And it is truly an open question in my mind, I assume many of the other members of the task force, I would hope. So I thought I really, really appreciated the plan that Joe came up with, which was getting through the next year with one time without a long-term commitment, understanding that we had to figure out that piece of the puzzle. And I think, quite realistically, that probably will entail a significant increase of levy supported dollars from us. I think it's going to be, that will definitely be part of it. But I don't know what that mix is going to be. And I really think that this is should be left as one time. I'm not sure that, Frank, that members of the task force necessarily will be as familiar with the distinction between one time and target money as we are in this body, but I think it's an important distinction, and I hope we keep it as is. I will be voting against this.
Okay, Jim.
I'm going to pass because Will just took my one time and target argument apart and threw it out there, so it was good. I agree.
All right, Pat. Pat, then Frank, then Peter.
I too am going to vote against this, but for all the reasons that have already been stated, I don't need to restate them.
Frank.
Thanks, Martha.
Following Pat and Jim's model. But Frank, go ahead.
Gee, why don't you guide me? Will, I'm sorry, I have to respectfully disagree. There's some skepticism, at least what I've heard around the table at the task group, that the decision's already made. And I think if we proceed with something like this, we'll show them that the decision is not already made about how to access funding through the room tax. There's been, in my opinion, not the type of discussion that you alluded to, that some of us have alluded to. Let's study economic development and see just what is it we expect, not only of TCAD, but of the other entities in the community that provide economic development. Now, had Carol proposed the sustainability money going into planning to help with economic development, I might have supported that. But she didn't. So I'm a little concerned. I have to disagree with you just a little bit. And I think that the makeup of the task group is pretty sophisticated. If we took the time, or Joe took the time, to describe the difference between target money and one-time money, I bet you they'd get it, because there are enough of them have been around the budget process here long, for a very long time. I know not all of you would agree with this, but I'm certainly going to support Mike's proposal. Thank you.
All right, we've got Peter, and then Jim and Pat change their mind and want to talk again. That's fine. Peter.
Yeah, I came into this meeting determined or thinking that I probably wouldn't vote for any change in the budget. And then I made one exception to that, which we'll get to. But the arguments I've heard about making this change have to do with signaling, that we have a message that we're trying to write in a sort of a certain code, and we're sending it out to them, telling them what it is we want to do. And the code says putting $70K into target is going to mean something, and they'll understand it. It sounds very murky to me. I just don't believe that whatever, if we have a direct message to tell them, I think we ought to say it directly and not in this coded fashion. So I'm going to vote against it.
Jim.
Monday afternoon at 5:30, the meeting is being held, and if the chair of the meeting will call on me, I'm going to throw out a question. Anybody who can describe, who's not on the county legislature, tell me the difference between target and one-time money, and they will say, I know what the answer will be, it's taxpayer money, isn't it? And I will have to say yes. And that's the issue for me. It's taxpayer money. At some point, we're going to have to probably put in some taxpayer money to support development. Until the committee reaches its goal, this group of people I've been with for 6 or 7 years, everyone who's ever been on a committee or talked about a committee has always said, let's wait till the end and the process follows through and we get a result. In this way, we want to really affect the result before the committee ever issues its final report.
Pat?
I'd like to say that I agree with what Peter just said and with what Jim just said. I'd also like to add that I think there could be another way to interpret what you're suggesting, Frank, that if we were to go in there and describe to the group what the difference is between target and one time so that folks fully understood that, I think it would be very possible if I were sitting there to interpret that, were we to support this, to say, oh, well, they've already decided that they're only going to put $70,000 into the property tax, and the rest is going to come, the other $100,000 is going to come out of the room tax. If we're going to tell them right now that we're dividing it, I know that. But what I'm suggesting is that somebody could look at this, if we pass this, and say, oh, well, there's already been a decision made, $70,000 out of target, $100,000 out of room tax, and think what that's going to be like. I think the only thing that makes sense is to keep it all one time until the committee has a chance to do its work.
Carol?
Yeah, I think that this speculation around the table, not just right now from Pat, about how things might be seen, I don't think that is how we ought to decide. There isn't anything surer than putting money in Target that says that, yes, we're committed to this. So if any message is going to be given to TCAD, it would be, yes, we hear you. We need to support economic development to a much greater degree than we are, and here's how we're going to get some of it. And to the tourism folks, it would say, we don't expect you to come up with all of it. So I think at this point, you've all talked me into supporting Mike's motion.
Jim?
Question,
Brian, second it? Okay. All in favor of calling the question? Raise your hand. Any opposed? That passes 12 to 2. So the motion is to change change 170 of one time to 70,000 Target and 100,000 as one time. All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. 4 opposed. 10. That fails 4 to 10. The next on the list, Proto and Kiefer Youth Services. Who would like? Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to introduce...
Wait, you know what? It's way past the break that we usually take. Now, I'm going to ask a personal question, Carol. Would you rather we plow through? Would it be better if we take a break? I don't know how you're doing.
No, I'm fine with taking a break as long as if somebody could find me a pillow or a coat or something to put behind me.
Okay.
That would help. And also maybe in the break to get this microphone so that I can get it closer to me.
Okay. Let's take a recess and be back in seats at 8 o'clock. Okay, thank you.